Here is somebody who calls himself Single 7. Single, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, first of all, thank you for coming on the air.
You're welcome.
That's number
well,
one.
I need to tell everyone about this after the New Guinea tsunami. I'm quite concerned.
The New Guinea tsunami?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's begin. You say, at the time of this writing, I am in grave danger. Do you think you're going to be killed?
It's a good chance. I got rid of my homing device, but they're still able. They catch up with me from time to time. And not only do I have to worry about my Trav T group, that's the group I came back with, I have to also worry about the alien Mim.
You're talking about, you said Trav T group?
Yes, our travel time group.
You claim to be coming from the year 2063, correct?
Correct. 2063, I'm a paleo ag tech.
When?
I'm not a weather tech, I'm a paleo ag tech. And we're trying, in the future, they're trying to change the weather.
What is a paleo ag tech?
It's kind of boring. I find it fascinating, but a brief description is I was sent back to find the earlier cousins of corn, wheat, tomatoes, things that can survive in a hotter temperature so we can have them back. We'll use them to splice and make hybrids into the future.
I've got you.
Because we need to raise the temperature of the Earth in the future to keep the men away. They can't survive in hot temperatures. They need it very cold and dark.
So You're not any part of the MIM. You're from our own future. You're a human from our own future.
Correct.
And the MIM want to cool the planet, as in ice ages that we have had before, to virtually take the planet. The MIM, otherwise known as the Greys, is that's what you're saying.
That's
right?
What you call them here. Yes. The reason is it's our parsec of space is in a third dimension. You have to look at it like maybe a tabletop as the whole universe, and our part of it is in a bowl. We're very unique in our universe, we found out. The rest of the universe, they exist in somewhat of a fourth dimension. The Big Bang happened all at once. Their history has happened all at once, and the universe all collapsed at once. And they're trying to get into the third dimension here, and that's why they have problems staying here. But you've seen them all through history. To them, it's not all through history. It happens simultaneously many times. They've been trying to change it.
All right.
It's kind of a strange concept to grasp. I've tried to explain this to other people, and this is my biggest stumbling block.
Okay, I'm going to try. Now, when did human beings discover time travel?
In the year 2051.
51, so it's relatively new.
Right, correct. And ironically, and same with the weather control, ironically, it is from MIM technology that we got it.
All right, so again, so that we all
MIM understand. Were not aggressive at first.
The MIM are trying to cool the planet.
Correct.
They're actually trying to cool the planet. So the humans, you and your group, are coming from the year 2063, trying to modify the weather and make it warmer.
Right, gradually warming the planet.
So it will be completely inhospitable for the MIM.
Correct. And this is where the time gets to be wavy at best. They can travel through time. They don't consider it traveling through time. When they come to Earth, they come to Earth in different times. They can't control that. And we think in a linear line, and this is where you have to study a lot to understand this. They exist in all times all at once. And we are following a linear course. That is
right.
And that's the only part of the universe is what we live in exists that way. And they want that.
They want our planet, our resources, or they want our In fact, our dimension, our linear way of living in
right. Time. We're sure they want the resources as well, but the main reason we feel is that they want the linear aspects of time.
In the year 2063, what kind of government do we have?
It's not a one-world order per se. We do have the UN, which is in charge, but we do have sovereign nations. It would be more analogous to the United States now with different states, but you have a centralized government in Washington, D.C. Although the UN does not have its own armies per se, we do have leaders, and that's who I work for is the UN, or I did.
You did. Now, your mission, though not part of the weather group, you understand well what the weather group is doing. They're coming back, I guess, in large numbers. Is that correct?
Yes. They have different cells. They come back all through time, gradually changing
the climate.
The climate. And it's culminating now. We only have...
Well, we have a big argument going on in this timeline about what's called global warming. And the Vice President, as a matter of fact, just made another statement about it. I've got it here today, about the month of June being the warmest in all of recorded history. And he's begging Congress to stop blocking legislation that would begin to affect this one way or the other. And you're telling me that it's not exactly man's industrial current presence that's doing this. I choose to call it, by the way, what is the phrase they came up with?
Incontinuity.
Oh, thank you. I see you're a listener.
Well, you are an archive.
Climactic, I call it discontinuity.
Discontinuity.
And that's just because it avoids the political argument. In other words, obviously, I think most people listening right now would agree the weather is definitely changing rapidly.
Yes, and it'll keep changing more rapidly. You have to go back all through time. We go back and we change it gradually in each era. But since we're getting closer to the era of the NIM, we need to up it more and more. And this is what you're seeing.
It's going to accelerate.
Correct.
Let me ask you about this. In the process of warming the planet, if that's really what's happening, millions of people will die because storms will get tremendously worse.
Yes.
They already are. It's happening
yes.
now. And here's something I need answered. You're coming back, or they're coming back, the climate team, and doing this is going to kill millions of people. What about the paradox problem? If you kill millions of people to, in effect, give Earth a poison pill so the MIM can't occupy it, then don't you end up doing yourself in through the paradox problem?
We don't see it that way, or they do not see it that way. I've come to see the light on this, but they don't see it that way. They don't see any paradox problems. They have gone back into ancient history, and they've changed things, and it has not changed the future.
So then that tells us something about the nature of time. You're telling me that whatever you do, it's kind of like pushing on something that returns to its original form. In other words,
correct. You have to think of time in a huge, think of it as a big loop of string with small loops all around it. On the outside, every minute is another loop, every hour is another loop. This is how we can visualize it in linear time. The loop will go right back to where it, not exactly to where it began, but it will go back to where it began. That's why we have to go through time and make these gradual changes. We can't just do it all at once.
Well, that would make sense.
That's the whole problem with this.
All right.
And
so
I'm not a Trav T. Tech of time. I'm an agriculturist. I find the ancient wheats and tomatoes and seeds that are tolerant of heat, and we hybrid them in the future.
All right. Nevertheless, you're aware of what this
I've been briefed on
climate team is doing, and what is it that turned you against their mission so much so that you're now a rogue traveler?
Well, you have to think of it. This is the best way I can describe it. Think of something that would save you in this time if you had the ability to time travel. Something that would save you, your friends, your neighbors, your family. And you go back 50 years, per se, 80 years, and you had a choice of killing all those people to save yourselves and your friends. Those people you don't know, their history, they're already dead in your mind.
Correct.
Killing them is not a huge thing. You can sacrifice them to save yourself.
So
you know the paradoxes aren't...
I know, I understand. The justification is that really these people are already dead to them.
Correct. They're ancients. It would be like saying I have to go back to ancient Egypt and destroying millions of the slaves that built the pyramids to save myself. You don't have any connection with those people. It's a very... It's a very selfish thing. I know you think
that
way.
How did you decide that the morality of that was wrong?
Well, as an ag tech, I've been left by myself. I was up near Mount St. Helens because after the first blow of Mount St. Helens, many of the plants that grew there are tolerant to heat.
Uh-huh.
And being by myself, I've interacted with the populace of this time. And I've got to know them, and I see them as human beings now, not just some ancient history lesson.
Not as a bunch of technically dead people, so...
Right, faceless people, faceless ancients. The other trapeze, the weather techs, they usually are with a group, and they pretty much contain themselves to that group so they can be non-emotional, very detached.
For saying what you're saying on the air tonight, if they could get hold of you, what would they do?
I'm afraid they would kill me. They may take me back to the future, but I'm afraid that they would kill me.
All right. Hold on right where you are. We're far from done. All right. We're going back now to the man who calls himself Single Seven, one who is hunted. You're back on the air, sir.
Yes, hello.
I should tell you about a fax I just received, and I will. It's obviously not from your same machine at all, but from an entirely different one. And I don't mean to frighten you, but it just says, Art Bell, imperative to our cause that you get Single Seven's location, signed Hunter 12.
I really don't believe that they would send a fax to you, Mr. Bell.
You did.
Yes, I did, but like I said, they're pretty autonomous. They don't interact with the species. They pretty much don't listen to your radio broadcasts. I was off by myself interacting with people. Some friends of mine told me about your show, and I did fax you, but I doubt that they would.
Okay.
They could, but I've never heard of any Hunter 12.
Okay.
Single
right.
Seven is just a rank.
Single Seven is a rank.
Right. My true name is Jonathan.
Jonathan, what about your own people, the people from your division? You were not in the climate control division, you say.
No, I was not a weather tech.
So what would their attitude toward you be now?
Well, they would be the ones who would want to kill me.
What about...
Remember, this is a very patriotic war. This is humans against aliens.
I've got you. Well, so my next question is about the MIM, or what we call the Greys. I take it they have a similar attitude towards you.
Yes, of course, because we're trying to exterminate their species.
So you're kind of like the guy who's got the mob and the FBI after him at the same time.
correct. A man with no time, my friends have said.
So how do you exist day to day? Do you stay moving? What do you do?
I stay moving. So far, I've had a network of friends who know other people who send me off to other people. And I live as a transient among them.
Kind of like an underground railroad sort of deal.
Underground railroad.
Well, it's like an old
subway
phrase, yeah. What, obviously somebody in your position telling us this story about this war that is going on, and it virtually is a war, I guess.
Yes, it's for the existence of humans.
What can we do?
Here in the past, you can...
Here in the past, yes.
You can try to find the Trav T groups when they come along. You can search out their satellites that they have in orbit. They do have them shielded, but our shielding technology isn't that great. They do give off radio emissions that can be found. Like I said, I'm not a tech, but I do know of all these things.
Can you give us a general idea of how they're changing the climate, how they're warming the climate?
It's done with EMP pulses, some sort of microwave EMP pulses. And they find tectonic joints or tectonic weak spots, and they pulsate these things. And what they're trying to do is create more volcanism. Now, sometimes it creates earthquakes, and as I said, the tsunami.
Well, we sure are having, believe me, we're having more volcanism right now. It's been very seriously on the increase worldwide.
Worldwide. And I'm aware of it here in the Northwest. I wasn't aware of it worldwide.
Frankly, a lot of geologists are at a loss to explain it.
Is it happening all at once?
Mexico, Sicily, Italy. I could go on and on and on
these
and on.
These things are all happening at once.
Rumblings under St. Helens. It's not even worth in Japan. Of course, you know about the earthquake. You mentioned it yourself.
Yes, correct.
That produced the tsunami that killed so many.
Yes, and I don't know it for a fact, but I do believe because part of it is the main part would be warming the water temperature. When they try to do it underneath the ocean, try to get the volcanism to come up and warm the water temperature as well.
Wow.
But let me ask one question of you. You said these volcanoes, they're happening at once. They're rumbling at once.
Yes, rumbling and worse. Some are...
I was not aware of this. That's
Central America, South America. I could go on and on and on. They're expecting... I heard from Stan Dale, a friend of mine in Australia. He's worried about an eruption there. It's worldwide. Mm-hmm. And almost every geologist you talk to would suggest it's ridiculous that there can be no connection between volcanoes. But it's awfully synchronistic that they seem to be all becoming active at once.
Yes, that's correct, and that's what I'm afraid of, is they are upping the amperage to make these volcanoes start acting all at once. And I need to warn people.
All right.
Tell them to look for these Trav T.
If these Trav T groups are successful, how bad is it going to get?
Well, our goal is 15 degrees hotter on average worldwide. And it's going to melt the poles, and we know that in the future, and it's going to have devastating... I can tell you from an agricultural standpoint, the problem with people here in the past, or the present people right now, they're planting crops that are all hybrid, the same kind of crops. This means that they're all acceptable to the same diseases. You have one disease, you have one hot summer, all crops fail. Before, in the past, what we found is they would plant, an example, 20 different varieties of corn, 10 varieties of beans.
Mm-hmm.
And if one fell to heat, disease, insects, the others would survive, which would propagate a higher order of plants, a stronger order. But they're not doing that anymore. And I can say that the crops will fail because of the heat. And the bugs, the insects that the heat does bring on.
We are also suffering all kinds of other indicator problems, like frogs worldwide are beginning to die, and it has to do with, we think, the ozone depletion. And this is getting to be a very serious story. They tried to ascribe this to all kinds of other things, but now it seems clear, the scientists are saying, and they've done controlled experiments, that frog eggs and frogs are, well, the eggs are dying. They're not making it. Frogs themselves that are born, that do make it, are deformed generally. Things appear to be changing at a very rapid rate. I noticed it. I called it the quickening. It's just a name I came up with, but it's accelerating very quickly. So what's the timeline like?
How do you mean the timeline?
Well, for the increase in temperature, for the non-viability of crops.
2031 is when we want the 15 degrees average, if that's what you're asking.
Well,
now, about the frogs and the ozone layer, I don't remember my history very well, and I wasn't briefed on this. I don't think this has anything to do with the trapped tea groups. I think this is maybe a cyclical cycle.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be an offshoot of the volcanism. I don't remember anything in my history lessons about
that. All right,
that.
How would we recognize, is there a way to recognize these Trav T groups?
Well, recognizing them, looking at them, I mean, we're humans, we look the same. There's not any great evolutionary jumps from
then to then.
Now to 2063.
I understand.
But you can find the satellites that they do use.
So we probably would not be able to recognize the operatives.
No, you wouldn't. But you could trace. They do have to control the satellites. And this is done still with basically the same technology of an RF signal.
Yep.
Sometimes carried on laser beams, but most of the time just a regular RF signal.
Now, our government, the American government, has satellites up capable of detecting, cellular communications from space. I mean, tiny amounts of RF.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible that our government in this time now is aware of signals that are being sent?
I wouldn't think so. They might be aware, but they might not know the origins or what they are right now. I wouldn't think that the higher-ups in the future would allow that the government would know, of course, because they would want to protect their own people.
Do you think that the MIM, that our government is aware of the existence of the MIM? This has
been through history, this is shown, yes. They are aware.
Is this, I mean, you're now a rogue operative.
Yes.
Is this any sort of battle that we can win?
I believe in the future that they can. I believe that with craft that we have invented, some of our weapons, that we can actually repel them in.
How far advanced are the MIM?
The MIM are quite advanced. We don't know much about them. We do know that they are on a hive collective, much as the same as insects of ant varieties or bee varieties.
Huh.
We don't know if they have higher ups. We don't know too much about them.
Do you believe them to be a distinctive race or a hybrid of some sort?
We believe them to be a race.
You do?
Yes, an extraterrestrial species. Highly advanced. We don't believe that they are from another dimension or future of here.
What would you say to people who are listening to this who say, this guy is a complete delusional mess. Even though I'm here to say you don't sound that way, you sound quite together to me, but there are people out there who will say, bah humbug, what a delusional pile of crap.
Yes, of course, this is a problem I have with many people trying to speak. They can't comprehend the fourth dimension of the MIM, and that is quite hard, I understand. And all I can look at it as if is that they're ancient peoples. They just don't quite understand. It would be somewhat analogous if you went back 80 years with computers and but you didn't actually own these things, but you were able to go back and you talked about them.
Of course,
it was. People of that time would think that you were delusional.
Magic, yeah, that I would be delusional. You're absolutely correct.
No, I don't think they would think it was magic unless you could produce results. But if you just talked about it, then you would be considered a heretic.
All right. One thing that people would ask is, if you are from the year 2036.
No, I'm from the year 2063.
I'm sorry. You're quite correct. I'm trying to catch you there. If you're from the year 2063, then you ought to be able to tell us some of what's coming. Aside from the horrendous changes in the weather, if these groups are successful, can you tell us any of our own future?
Yes, I don't think any paradoxes would exist. What would you like to know?
A lot of people want to know what's going to occur around the year 2000, which is just around the bend. We've got a big computer problem.
The year 2000?
Yes.
Well, there's what, if I remember right, the year 2000 is what was called a mock depression in the United States.
A mock depression?
Yes, there was a problem with computers, but there was actually no problem, but there was such a panic. It was somewhat like Chicken Little, the sky is falling, the sky is falling.
Uh-huh.
So many people believed it, that they... There was something to do with computers. There was going to be a problem. Many people made runs on banks.
Uh-huh.
Many people started suicide cults, these type of things. And the result was a mock depression that lasted... They called it a mock depression. It was actually very real, as what the history says.
A depression, for whatever reason, is a depression.
Right, but it was not caused. It was caused by panic. It was not caused by anything but panic.
Nothing real. In other words, just the pure panic over the whole thing.
Correct.
Okay, that makes sense. What about automobiles, pollution, environmental problems over the next years? They're very serious right now.
Right, incorrect, and that's part of the TRAPP-T group's part, the invention of the combustion engine and the keeping away of all other alternative energy sources is mainly due to some of the TRAPP-T groups in the political arenas and industrial waste.
If all of this is a story, it sure as hell is a good one, and you seem to have your act together pretty well.
Well, it's not a story, Mr. Bell.
I understand.
And of course, I can answer many things from the future, but you have to remember that I am a human, and I went to school like anyone else did, and I have to tax my memory.
How did you do in history?
History, I did fairly well. Fairly well. I'm not a history major. I'm basically a farmer.
But I understand. A lot of people say, my friend, that... Why are there not language differences?
But there are. There's a lot of acronyms that we use in the future. But I'm trying not to use them here because they do become clumsy. But
basically, the language, after all, it's only 65 years or so.
Right. But
it's basically remained intact.
Fairly well, but it has a lot. Acronyms have just... taking over that I can hear when I'm speaking to you. You don't use as many acronyms as we do in the future. They're everywhere. They're for almost everything.
It's incredible to contemplate a war for our planet, a virtual war for our planet, and our own people coming back to virtually kill millions. And I'm sorry, but we have to look at it that way. From we don't look at ourselves as dead and in the past.
Correct. And I do understand, and this is the realization that has come over me. You must understand, though, that these people from the future, and I was one, very patriotic, very single-minded. We're talking about the extinction of the human race.
Yes, you're virtually, so it's the, I don't want to say kill the few, because it's not few, but kill the few to save the many.
Right, actually, it would be, we would be killing a lot more than we are going to save. Because we do expect water levels to rise, we do expect it to get much, much hotter.
If the poles were to melt,
which we do expect to happen,
then we could expect sea level rises of between 20 and 50 feet.
Correct. Monstrous. But we hope after this is the hope, that after the MIM are repelled, that we can
somehow restore it. All right. Look, would you be willing to answer questions from the audience?
Yes, I would.
You would? All right, then.
I need to get this out.
All right, then. You're on. Coming up in the next hour, we will indeed open the lines. And if you have a question for Single 7, we'll be right back. Back to Single 7. And they're lined up to talk to you, Single 7. But I've got one fax question that I think is a good one.
All right.
Ask Single 7. One, is the person alive today that had a part to play in the development of the time device?
Is the person alive
today?
Now, in this present frame?
Yes.
No.
No.
No. That would make him in his late 60s.
All right. Indeed, it would. Then, can you give us some brief idea of what time travel, how time travel is accomplished? Is it a technical matter?
You mean a machine type?
Yes.
Yes, it's a tachyon type of plasma device that you're bombarded with.
That would make sense. All right. Let's go to the phones and see what we get. First-time caller line, you're on the air with Single 7. Hi.
Hello, Art. Hello, Single.
Hello.
This is Jack in Rockland, California.
Hello, Jack.
My question was, has all other avenues been exhausted in battling the MIM, or what we know as the Greys, or does it just come down to just we got to burn them out?
Can you repeat the question? I didn't hear it.
Yeah, he's saying, I'll repeat it for him. Stay on the line, sir. He's saying, have all other avenues of fighting the MIM or the Greys been exhausted, or has it really come down to we just virtually have to burn them out?
Oh, in the future, where I'm from?
Yes, sir.
No, not all. That's the whole reason that I've become rogue. No, this is the easiest way it was bought, without much loss of life and limb.
So you feel there's other ways to battle?
Correct.
And is it through technology that we've gained from them, or we've learned along the way?
It's part of both.
I have one other question. Does Area 51 still exist in your time?
Area 51, where is this at?
It is near me in Nevada. It is a secret base not admitted to by our government, where many people feel that evidence of the MIM may lie. In other words, that our government has had contact?
Well, I know that some of the first contacts in this country were in a desert area. There are many secret bases, but I don't know them by any nomenclature of any kind.
Boy,
yeah, sorry about that.
Well, that kind of answers the question, I'd say.
I would, too. Caller, I just got a fax from a physician whose name I will not give, but he says, you know, this man that you have on, if it's a story, it's damn good.
Yeah, maybe you should have David Oates reverse speech, this guy.
Right. You take
reverse
care.
Speech.
Yeah, reverse speech is a way of allegedly detecting the truth about anybody's, using anybody's voice and running it in reverse and looking for certain specific phrases.
That's very interesting.
It is interesting. Wild card line, you're on the air with single 7.
Yes, Art, this is Dan in Virginia.
Hi.
I think his name's Jonathan, if he doesn't mind me. Is that correct?
I'm having trouble hearing.
Are you?
It sounded muddled. What was the...
Well, he said he believed your name was Jonathan, yes.
Yes, Jonathan.
Yeah, which would you prefer me to use, single 7 or Jonathan?
Jonathan, please. Now that I'm Roe, I don't really have a rank anymore.
Okay, I have several questions. One has to do with a dimensional shift that we are, since is happening now, moving us into the fourth dimension. And I was just wondering if you had any substantiation on that, you know, from your time period.
Well, there are dimensional shifts whenever a MIM craft comes into being. We've, through history, you can see spontaneous combustions, things falling from the sky. It's a patchwork type of time frame, a part of the fourth dimension will come with them, and things will be jerked out of time and space, and a lot of times deposited.
Oof. All right. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Jonathan.
Hello, this is me.
Yes, you. Where are you?
I'm calling from Miami, Florida.
Miami, all right.
Could you speak up a little,
please? Yeah, you're going to have to yell at us.
Yeah, I'm calling from Miami. The first question I have is, there's a lot of talk about government secrecy and the Area 51 and the cover-up and UFO abductions. Does this information ever get revealed? And if it does, what's the outcome of the revelation?
All right. The question is about alien abductions. In fact, in this time period, we're getting a lot of reports of people being taken on board ships, people with implants in various parts of their bodies.
Oh, yes. Okay, yes. Yes, that does happen. That did happen all through time. Now, we do know that. That's the MIM. They're probing for weaknesses.
They're probing for weaknesses?
Yes, sir. Weaknesses in our human species.
All right, I want to read you something very briefly. This is from a friend of mine in Australia. It's also posted, folks, by the way, on the website. It's entitled Advisory from Stan and Holly Dale. Stan Dale, as you know, is a very good friend of mine. The following explains that there are other scientists besides Stan very concerned about a lake called Taupo possibly erupting, repeat, erupting. Scientists are going on 8 dives in 2-man subs, taking samples of the gases gushing out of the submarine vents, as well as rock and sediment. They will be doing this at the reef. I'm sure you have heard this referred to as the plug in the volcanic dome in this lake. Scientists are fairly sure the area contains an active geothermal field, including hot water jets possibly gushing out of hydrothermal chimneys, the underwater equivalent of geysers, and this is in Australia and New Zealand. Does this sound like the work of one of these groups, Jonathan?
Yes, it sounds like the starting of a new cell that they've started. That's how it usually begins, with jets in the bottom of the ocean, of what I understand, and then it builds and builds over time, of what you would consider time, builds into volcanic activity.
Okay, west of the Rockies, you're on the air with Jonathan. Hello.
Good evening, Mr. Bell. How are you?
Okay, you're going to have to yell at us. Jonathan is in a noisy place, I think.
Okay, first of all, I have a little trouble with the time travel aspect. I believe that the Philadelphia experiment explained why time travel really does not work. And I also was curious, if you are on, I love to ponder questions or answers. What are the pyramids for?
Oh, I see. All right. It's a good question for you, Jonathan.
What is what for?
The pyramids. Do we know anything more? Do you know anything more in the year you come from about the pyramids than we know now?
Well, the pyramids, they're just stones. They're stone pyramids. I don't understand. You mean you think there's something that they're for?
Yes. That was the question.
Well, no. Well, thinking about it, there were cult groups at the start of the millennium that thought that there were places all over the earth for certain things, but it hasn't been proven or anything, and those have pretty much died away by the time I was even born.
You told me that by your year, by 2063, right?
Yeah.
There will be a, if all works out, how much of a temperature change?
A 15 degree.
Plus 15 degrees.
An average.
All right. Between now and 2063, surely long before we get to 15 degrees plus on average, conditions here will become intolerable in many parts of the world. And my question would be, when do you think that would begin to occur? I mean, it's underway right now.
Like I said before, by 2051.
By 2051. All right, fine. First time caller line, you are on the air with Jonathan. Hi. Hello?
Hello?
I am. This is Todd calling.
You from where?
Hello?
Actually, I'm calling from the future.
You claim to be a time traveler.
Right. I'm on with this. This is a long story here, and I'm going to try to make this short. I see. I'm calling from an agency from the future. Okay, we're tracking down this fellow, Single 7.
All right. Well, this is somebody who claims to be tracking you down, Jonathan.
Excuse me. Hello.
Yes. Yes. We are calling from right now the future. Okay. We managed to communicate with Earth and with the current date as it is now 1998. This fellow here, Single 7, okay, is not given an accurate description of what's going on. I'm actually working for a detective agency for the United Nations, as he calls it, the Sovereign Nations, and it's not quite as...
All right, what is not accurate about what he has said?
Okay, what's not accurate is that we are not going to kill out anybody, like he says. You see, we're just warming up the Earth to proper temperature, but we're not actually going to do anything of that sort to kill out millions of people. We are. We know what goes on. We do not want to disrupt life as it is.
All right. So he's denying, Jonathan, any.
Yes, Mr. Bell. Anyone who calls in or faxes into you, I was kind of a radio buff of your show from the past. I can't believe anyone from any of the cells would actually be listening to you. I don't mean to deflate your ego or anything, but I don't.
Doesn't bother me.
They're so single-minded that they do a task and then they leave to the next task. I just can't believe that anyone would be calling you.
You don't think that he's credible?
Correct.
But surely anybody from one of these task forces that are here even temporarily would probably say something like he said in defense of what they are doing, wouldn't they?
Oh, I'm sure they would, if they even bothered at all to talk to anyone.
In other words, they feel that their mission to warm Earth is God, country, and apple pie, and
correct. It's ultra-patriotism.
Exactly.
They're very single-minded, like I keep saying. They're quite a humorless bunch. I'm, like I said, a farmer, and there were a few farmers that were picked to collect the grains and seeds. I just can't believe I've met with these people. It was even hard talking to them.
All right, so
myself.
It really was your job then to collect these grains and seeds and try and adapt them to be able to grow in the much warmer climate?
Well, no, we wouldn't adapt them. We would sequence their DNA and hybrid them with other crops. We'd take out the adaptability and use them for our crops in the future, because the warming trend, like I said before, would destroy most crops.
Uh-huh.
And this was my job, just to find these ancient crops, the paleo ag tech.
When did it begin to turn for you? I mean, how long ago in real time, linear time, did
it? It was a tsunami.
It was the tsunami that
yes,
did it.
Everyone was talking about it in a place I was at the time, and I saw horrible, horrible pictures of dead bodies, and it all clicked to me. It reminded me of some of the men massacres that we've had.
How much of what has gone wrong, tragically wrong, with the climate that has resulted in many dead and or earthquakes is a result of what the MIM have done?
The MIM aren't... I don't understand. You mean the MIM cooling...
Yeah. In other words, we've got your group with satellites and a geologic poking about.
Yeah, the only times that I know of the NIM changing things were in the ancient past of Earth.
Ice ages.
Right. They were trying to get it to wipe out humans. A preemptive strike, if you will.
You realize, of course, that a lot of people listening will have a very difficult time believing all this.
Yes, as I said before, I want to try to get it out, but as I said before, you'd have to picture yourself going back to maybe the start of the century or the 20s or 30s and trying to explain jet aircraft or computers and not actually having one, and they just wouldn't believe you.
I do understand that. All right, hold on, Jonathan. We will call you Jonathan by your request. If you have questions for Jonathan, so far this one comes up credible to me. But if you have questions for Jonathan, come now. All lines are cooking, so I guess you are on the way. All right, back now to Jonathan. Jonathan, a trivial question.
Mr. Bell, 1 minute.
All right.
I will answer your questions. I just must. I only have about 15 more minutes.
That's fine.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Stupid question, maybe. Does baseball still exist in your time?
Oh, yes, it does.
Ask Single 7. I'm reading now the facts. Jonathan, if we are patriotic to a one-world government or the U.S., in other words, is it still a nationalistic pride, or is it the patriotism to the combined governments, the U.N., if you will?
Right now, it's patriotism to the human species. We're at war.
I understand. He also asks, what happens to President Clinton?
What happened to whom?
The president we have now of the U.S., President Clinton, who is in a considerable amount of domestic difficulty. It's probably a trivial question.
Yes, and I don't remember. He must have not been a hugely important president, because I just don't remember. I don't remember.
Well, that's
all
an answer.
Presidents.
Yeah, that's a good answer. All right. On the first time caller line, you're on the air with Jonathan. Hello.
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
Nice on your show, Art.
Where are you, sir?
I'm in Sacramento, California.
Okay.
And my name is James. I have a question. I have a quick few, and it's only because of certain things I've heard on the radio show in recent times. I don't know how, Jonathan, how well you know about history, at least in your time, and what's happened from now and until the time that you're from. I'm curious, does California actually fall into the ocean?
Uh-huh.
California falling into the ocean? No, we do surmise that it will be under the ocean.
And again, that would be because of the warming, the melting of the ice caps?
Correct.
That would definitely do it.
You mean the actual land sliding down into the ocean?
No. Yeah, he's concerned about a geologic event that would virtually change, causing, as he points out, California to fall.
No, I'm not all that up on the weather tech, and there is a fault, I know, that goes through California. But I don't, even in their equations, I don't think that that it actually slides into the ocean.
All right, here's a technical question for you. You may not be able to answer this, but you indicated that there were ground signals that were controlling satellites that are accomplishing this weather modification, correct?
Correct, the TRAV-T groups, of course. They have to control the satellite first.
Yes. Do you know offhand what frequencies we could listen to?
Yeah, you know, there is a manual for it, and I don't have it, and I do apologize for it, and there's many, many frequencies.
How would you advise somebody who's trying to find these transmissions to look?
Yeah, what I'm going to have to do is try to find a dissident that is a weather tech. Get him. As I said, I can answer all the questions you'd want about paleo agriculture, but the weather tech, I know I was briefed on it, and I know what their mission is, and I know some small parts of it, but very technical things I do not know.
All right, I understand. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Jonathan.
Good morning.
Hi.
Good morning. Jonathan. This is Pam. I'm calling from Vancouver, Washington.
Yes.
I would like to know, in our time, Jonathan, here, we have quite a few people that are in clairvoyancy, prophecies of the future and what's going to happen. Is there a particular name of anybody that has proven out through history up to your time to have actually hit the nail on the head?
That's a very, very good question. We have prophets in our past, Jonathan, like Edgar Cayce and others, Nostradamus, who have been reputed to be very accurate in what they saw. We also have modern-day prophets today. When you look back from the year 2063, are there any names that come to mind of people who had it pretty well down today?
Yeah, you know, I'm not really interested in that field. I tend not to believe it, and it kind of died out long before I was born. I do remember, you know, hearing something about Nostradamus as some sort of prophet and some biblical prophets, but I don't know if I don't study on that. I know that might make my credentials go down, but I'm just not interested.
No, that's all right. I'll take the answers as they come. What about spiritualism or religion in your year? Does it continue? Does Christianity blossom? Does church going begin to wane? What is spiritualism like where you come from, when you come from?
Christianity somewhat died in 1938 when they found the Ark in Ethiopia. Had some sort of inscriptions on it that I don't know how to explain it. A lot of Greek mythology was turned into the Christianity type of religions.
Wow.
It was dealt kind of a blow because of that. I know that there was some ancient other myths from other lands.
Why would the finding of the Ark, wherever it would be found, diminish Christianity?
Well, it was found and it had inscriptions, literal inscriptions on it, that weren't like a modern-day Bible, a book.
Oh.
And what they could do then was trace them back to ancient myths, like the myth of Jesus was traced back to the myth of Hercules being part man, part God. Even his name, Jesus, was from the Zeus, part of his father's name.
All right, east of the Rockies.
Is that a very...
That was a That was an answer that will get me a lot of mail. That's all right, though.
Oh, I do apologize.
That's quite all right, Jonathan. I'm used to it. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Jonathan. Where are you, please?
Hey, Art. This is Kevin in Johnson, Nebraska.
All right.
I have a couple questions, one serious and one not so serious.
Okay.
One is, right now in our time, the big scare right now that everybody's talking about, they're in movies and stuff, are asteroids and comets. And I was just wondering if, in your time, if we run into any problems with them. And second, my second question...
Well, hold on. One at a time. Pause. Asteroids and comets are a concern. We have a lot of Earth-crossing asteroids, just big old nasty rocks out there. Should they impact the Earth, would take away a great deal of life and cause...
Going back to my science classes now, from that, what I remember, I mean, there is nothing that's impacted from the time I'm from, but what I remember is that Jupiter is pretty much what saves Earth and most of the inner planets because it's so big and it tends to be a magnet. And that's what keeps the rocks from hitting Earth.
Well, actually, that's a very good explanation. It has an incredible magnetic field.
Yeah, I'm going back to my elementary science.
All right.
And the man said he was from Nebraska.
Yes.
Yes, I'm from South Dakota, actually.
Oh, cool.
Went to the South Dakota School of Mines for farming. Yeah. Go 49.
Well, my second question is more of a pop culture question. I'm a big fan of rock and roll. Like Art does, I like Fleetwood Mac and Nirvana and stuff. I was wondering if rock and roll still exists in your time.
Good question.
Rock and roll, no, I'm sorry.
No?
No, I've listened to rock and roll. They play it on some of the nostalgic nets, but what we do for entertainment there is neuroaugmentation. It's, I don't know how to explain it quite.
Neural augmentation.
Yes, it's like you have now is the internet. Just picture the internet if you could take a plug it into your mind and hear and communicate that way with the thoughts of others. It's very interesting for sex as well.
Indeed, it causes one's mind to wobble. West of the Rockies?
Yes, the big entertainment in our culture is switching partners. You know, a man can see what a woman feels. And
oh, brother. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Jonathan.
Hi, this is Cindy from Southern New Mexico.
Hello, Cindy.
What are the weaknesses of the MIM? We don't have much information at all about the Grays.
There's a really good question. She's
can you
asking,
repeat it, please?
Yeah, I can ask it for her. She's asking, what are the weaknesses of the MIM or the Grays? We don't know a lot about them.
Yes, right, and that's pretty much where we're at in the future, too. We have captured some of them. We know that their bodies aren't as tolerant as ours to extreme weather changes. They need the cold. They need it extremely cold and extremely dark, pretty damp. They're of a humanoid-type species, and... they do have disc-shaped craft, but the craft, it's hard for them to keep into the third dimension. That's the whole reason that they're here. They're trying to make it into the third dimension. So when they're here, it wouldn't be a war like you would know of. They don't swoop down all the time on human beings. There have been incidents, but most of the time it's fought in space and in time. They're trying to change the weather. That's how they're fighting this war.
Understood. Can you tell me for how long the MIM have been visiting Earth?
Well, they've all through history, since prehistory. We took their first transmission in 2051, and that's how they got their name as MIM. That was the first transmission that we got. It was a noise that sounded like MIM.
You've got your act together.
I just am telling you what I remember.
I understand. There is a very famous myth or reality, depending on what side of the controversy you believe, that young lady was calling from New Mexico, there was allegedly the crash of some kind of alien craft in 1947 near Roswell, New Mexico. Do you know anything about that?
Oh, that was more than 100 years ago. Like I said, I remember something about some of the first contacts in this time frame being in a desert area, and that's about all. I don't remember any town names or area names, no.
Well, there's an awful lot of people listening to this who are going to take you quite seriously, and they're going to want to know what we can do or what we should be doing, how we can help.
Just try, and I wish I could help you further with this, but try to find those satellites.
Try to find the satellites.
Yes, and I do think that you have the technology to knock down those satellites. You have to remember that our technology isn't leaps and bounds ahead of yours in this time frame.
All right, but we've got to ask this. Let's say that we did that. Let's say that your warning as a rogue agent is successful, and we find and destroy the satellites that are warming the climate. Doesn't that leave humanity open to the Greys, to the MIM?
No, that'll just force the people in the future to go to more conservative type of weapons that we do have to fight the MIM. And we can fight them through time, but there's no need to kill millions of people in the past
to do it. All right. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Jonathan. Hello.
Hello.
Hi there. I have a feeling he's not going to be able to hear you very well.
No, I'm sorry. I don't know if it's my line or...
It may be your line or noise near you. Caller, what can I ask for you?
Okay. Well, you guys were all talking about satellites and what have you.
Yes.
I used to be able to pick up Art Bell on my big C-band satellite.
All right. Well, this is not relevant to what we're discussing right now. There is an analog signal that you can pick up that my affiliate in Nashville, WTN, transmits on G5, and I'll try and get that info for you. East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Jonathan. Hello?
Yes.
Yes, you're on the air, sir. Where are you?
This is Morgan from Fort Worth.
Fort Worth, Texas.
Texas.
All right.
Yeah, hey, I've got an off-the-wall question for you, and he just touched on it a few minutes ago.
All right.
I was curious what dating or marriage or sex would be like in his time frame.
Apparently very different.
I don't think it's all that different. I don't think human beings will ever change all that much. There are some recreational technologies, but that's... But there is marriage and dating. I'm not married, but I have dated many women.
So
things
so
are pretty much the same.
Yes, pretty much the same.
Certainly, right. Yes. The entertainments have changed, and morals, I don't know if they've changed all that much, to tell you the truth.
Well,
there are some people who say bad things about the neuro-augmentation, but...
I would think in your time or any time, neural augmentation, as you described it, would be extremely controversial because, in effect, that allows cyber sex with anybody. And
correct, and many people all at once, too, if you can imagine climaxing all at once, and that's a big game as well.
So that's a pretty big moral...
That's more for the younger people, and you have to remember that I'm 32.
And so you're past all that, huh?
Well, not past it. I do like to indulge every now and then, but you have to keep upgrading those augmentations and some of the fashions that they have around the augmentations are...
All right, I realize our time is short. There's one other very important question I should ask. There's been a great deal of speculation that the MIM, or the Greys, have a specific interest in our genetic structure, and that people who are abducted, animals that are mutilated, and there is a lot of that going on, all of this is going on for something that has something to do with their genetic weakness. Is there anything to that?
There could be something to that. I don't know of anything. I know that they do. That we know that they have abducted people, and they do take DNA samples. Animals, I'm not clear on why they would do that to animals. I've never heard of that.
All right. Let me ask you one more question about your field. This is something you should know about. We have something called crop circles, which are designs that appear to be very specific, intricate designs in crops, in fields of crops. It's occurring worldwide. Is it a weather phenomenon of some sort, or is it something we have yet to understand?
In fields of crops, you get circles.
Circles?
Round circles.
Yes.
Is this something, the way they grow at this, in this time frame? I don't know anything of circular growth.
Okay. Jonathan,
I'm quite interested in that. That's, you say that that's in crops.
Yes.
And they grow them in circles.
That suddenly in the middle of the night and for no reason a group of circles or strange formations will appear, which could not possibly be done by human beings, and they have puzzled us for some time now. It is a worldwide phenomenon. Jonathan, we're out of time.
All right.
I guess
I'm very interested in that crop circle.
I understand. I guess you're on the run, huh?
Yes. Well, it's not quite as grave as I pointed it out to you in the facts.
All right.
Yes, I do have to keep on a move.
Jonathan,
if they do find me, they will.
I understand. Jonathan, if anything changes, you know my fax number. You know how to get hold of me. Fax me, all right?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Jonathan, and good night and good
luck.
Thank
you for putting out the word.
Take care. We'll be right back.